Well, can I welcome you to our morning service this morning. This morning the boys and girls are going to stay in with us and we're going to do an all-age service. And we're going to look particularly at one verse, a very precious verse where Jesus declared to the world that he was the light of the world. And we're going to be thinking about that verse a little bit this morning. Just to advertise again, the second of two special prayer meetings that we're having as a church. We had one last Tuesday evening, 7:30, here in this building. Another one planned for Tuesday, 7:30. You don't need to be a member of the church to come to that. Please feel free to come to that and pray with us. We're praying for the leadership of the church. We're praying for the quality of our fellowship. And we're praying for the impact of the gospel in our community. So please join us if you can. If you can't join us, please pray with us over these days and weeks, and the Lord will move in his mercy upon us. Father in heaven, we come to you through Jesus Christ and him alone. We come to you gladly because you are our God. We thank you for the light that Jesus has shone. And we pray that as we think about him and the light that he is, that you would grant to us faith, you would, in granting faith, grant to us joy and peace in believing. We pray that Jesus, the light, would be an influence even this morning on us, and his presence would go with us today and through this week, that we would know the reality of following Jesus and knowing the light of life. Would you help us in that? Well, we've mentioned people who know what it is to grieve. We pray for Frank and Ruth, for Liz and her family. We pray for Shirley and her family. We pray for Jack's family. Almighty God, would you draw near to these dear saints, and may they know your comfort and your grace at this time. So we commit ourselves to you, gracious God. Help us, we ask, and draw near to us, we pray. Amen. Going to sing a song entitled "My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness to Him Who Bore My Pain." Each verse lists reasons why we should give thanks to God. Can we just have a look at verse 2, Philip, please? "My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who walks beside." One of the lovely things about Jesus being the light is he shines a light on our path and walks with us through life. Let's stand as the music starts and we'll sing together.
Thank you.
Our passage for this morning is one verse. It's John chapter 8, verse 12. It'd be wise to have the Bibles open because I'm going to tell some of the story as to what happened before and what happened after Jesus said those words. So John chapter 8, verse 12. I'm going to read it out and then we're going to learn some for the boys and girls. We're going to learn some actions for a memory verse. We're going to try and memorize most of this verse. Okay. So let me read the verse and then we'll learn we'll start to learn it as a memory verse, and then I will think about why Jesus said it and where he was when he said it. So let's hear God's word. This is Jesus, a record of what happened when Jesus was at a feast. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Short and sweet. Who wants to come and help me learn a memory verse for some actions? Come on ahead. Yeah, you can take your mask off when you're up. Yeah. It's not just you and me, is it, at the front, Matthew? It's going to be somebody else. Here we go. You want to go slow this morning, Daniel? Good to see you. Great. Right. So some lines. Jesus said, okay, now, if we're going to draw a J in the air, okay, for Jesus, right? Jesus said, okay, you do? Jesus said. You're not allowed just to watch. You have to take part, okay? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Okay, so it's Jesus said, "I am the light," as if your hands are light. "Light of the world." Spot on. Okay? Should we practice that? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." So I think I got that wrong already. Let's try that. Let's try that again. From how about Jesus? We'll just make it up as we go along here. Jesus said. Is that better? All right, okay. Okay, just to confuse you, we'll just change that, okay? So it's now, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Brilliant. There's more. "Whoever follows me." So we're going to point. Okay, let's start with Steve, okay? Point to everybody in the room, okay? "Whoever follows me." Okay, so it's one action. "Whoever follows me." All right, from the top, okay? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me." Now, I need you to... That's true, but it's not in the verse. Okay, well, now I need you to be careful with this one, okay? Because we're going to walk around with our eyes covered, okay? So we're going to take tiny, tiny steps because there's a step right in front of you, okay? So we'll not, so as I'm looking at you, so we'll not walk in darkness. So cover your eyes and we'll not walk in darkness. Just take a side step, okay? That's a singular, not side steps, side step, okay? I don't want to use the first aid kit this morning, okay? So it's whoever... will not walk in darkness. Just one step that way and one step that way. Can we do that? Okay. Can we practice that? Will not walk in darkness. Okay. That sounded like more than one step to me. When you're at home, you can walk wherever you want. Okay. But just be careful. Okay. Now, how are you going to do that? As you cover your eyes, sitting down, feel free just to turn your body or your head. Okay. Will not walk in darkness. Okay, from the top. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness." Where are you going? Get back. Listen, did I tell him? Right. I'm making sure your parents know I'm looking after you, okay? "Will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." But will have the light, so it's the same action, the light of life. Okay, that's makaton for life. Okay, so your fingers are pointing again. Life. Okay? But we'll have the light of life. That's unusual, that one, isn't it? Life. Yeah? Okay? We're going to go from the top. Okay? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Brilliant. Now we'll practice that later on, okay? But that's what we're going to be thinking about today. Go and take a seat. Thank you very much indeed for your help. Give him a round of applause. Now, Jesus said that, with other words, when he's at a particular festival, okay? And we'll think about the festival in a few minutes. It's sometimes called the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. I'm going to call it the Feast of Shelters, okay? Because that's probably more accurate in the sense of what it was like. The Feast of Shelters, we'll think about that in a little bit. But before we do, we're going to watch a video which introduces Jesus saying, I am the light of the world.
Light is really important. We need light to live. Flowers blossom and flourish in the light. Without light, they wither and shrivel. We all need the light to live. Without light, we're a mess. Without light, we're in danger. Light is really important. Without light, we can't see ourselves properly. Without light, we can't make sense of everything around us. It's dangerous to be in the dark. You can't make good decisions. Jesus knows we need light to live. That's why he came into the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus said those words at a light party. He was with his friends and his enemies at the Feast of Tabernacles, or tents. At this party, four large stands, each holding four golden bowls of oil, would be lit as the sun went down. The light would bounce off the limestone walls, and the city would be bright. A choir would sing, and the people would dance in the streets. This light party remembered how God led his people with a pillar of fire at night in the past. This light party looked forward to God coming to overcome all the darkness of the world. It celebrated the day when God would end all the bad and dangerous and sinful things that happened. In the middle of that light party, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light we need to live. On the cross, the sky went dark in the middle of the day. It looked like evil had won. 3 days later, Jesus' friends went to his tomb in the morning. He was alive again. The light beat evil. And everyone who trusts Jesus can have perfect life with him forever. Jesus is the light you need to live. Without Jesus, we can't know God, who gives all life. With Jesus, we see God clearly. He's powerful and loving and wants us to trust him. Without Jesus, we can't see what's wrong with us. With Jesus, we see ourselves clearly. We're not perfect, and we need saving. But Jesus loved us so much, he died to save us. Without Jesus, we can't understand the world and make good choices. With Jesus, we see the world clearly. He shows us the right way to love others and God. Jesus is the light we need to live. He's the light everyone needs. Jesus is the light of the world.
Now that's a really important thing that Jesus said. It's a really important truth that Jesus shows. And we're going to be thinking about that this morning. I'm going to need some help because the festival that Jesus was at was called the Festival of Tabernacles or Tents or Booths or Shelters. Okay? And one of the things that they did was they had to, every year they had 7 days of celebration. Some of the feasts that God's people marked were serious days. So just about a week before this festival, there was what's called the Day of Atonement, and that was a serious day. Well, this festival, the Festival of Booths or Tabernacles, is a joyful one that lasts for 7 days, a whole week off school. Can you imagine that? Whole week of celebration. And God commands his people to rejoice in God. So it's a week of joy and gladness. And what they did was, they went up on the roofs of the houses, which were flat, and they built shelters. So I've started to build a shelter. I need some help to finish it. Does anybody want to give me a hand finishing my shelter? I'll gladly finish it by myself, but I really would appreciate some help. Do you want to come up and come on up. They had to build the shelters, not of tables and wood, but they had to build the shelter from, does anybody know? What they had to build the shelters from? Anybody know?
Branches.
Branches, okay. Where in a church building could you get a branch? Any idea? Let me have a look. Where? No, we are not messing with the flowers. Cynthia, where are you? We're not messing with the flowers, okay? All right, the flowers are staying as they are. Someone want to take that? There you go. Okay.
Yes.
Can we start to arrange those on top of the table to make like a roof? Okay. To those who clean the church, thank you. And sorry. Boys,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. There we go. Zach. That, yeah, spot on, that's good. Grand designs.
Yeah.
Daniel's just told me the proper name for the Festival of Tabernacles. Succoth. Well done. Okay. Now, boys, we're not finished yet. Some more? These ones are smaller ones to go on top. You've done a really good job getting those. We'll leave that one. Can you take that one? Right, just two more. There you go. Okay.
My own house is built.
Do we think? Yeah. What do you reckon, Joe? Can you tuck up one in there?
Hello, house.
That's good. Right.
A good house. Oh, goody, I have a house.
Now, should we take a rest underneath? I tell you what, Joe, just...
No, we'll
leave that one to...
I've got it.
Right, boys, excellent job. Come and have a sit down. Come on, Zach. Now then, I'm told that the idea was, because it was built from branches. Zach, just sit down, wee man. Good lad. Sit down. You going to sit down? Just want to talk to you for a wee bit. Sit down. Good lad.
Sit down.
Well, the idea was you're meant to be able to see through the roof so you can see the stars. That's the idea. So it's not supposed to be waterproof. So if you're thinking that roof looks really dodgy, yeah, it does. But actually, the roofs of the booths that they built were not supposed to keep the rain off. They're supposed to allow you to look up and see the stars. Okay? Now then, imagine we're on the roof of your house. Okay? It's a flat roof. We've built this booth, the shelter, okay? And one question that a boy or a girl could easily ask is, why are we doing this? Why? Sometimes we sleep in tents in our back garden, don't we? Okay? And my experience of doing that once or twice when I was a boy was, it was usually cold, windy. And I lived in Northern Ireland, so it was wet. And I remember thinking to myself, why? Well, my house is just 5 yards over there. Why am I here in this tent? So the question is, why? Maybe a boy years ago would have asked the dad, why are we building this shelter? And the story would go like this. Well, we build this shelter every year. And we sleep in it for 7 days to remind us of what God did when he rescued us from Egypt. When he took us out of Egypt, he brought us through the wilderness and we lived in tents. I did. And we lived in tents. And this week's festival is to remind us that we are a saved people. Okay? That's one question they could have asked and one answer they could have got. Okay? Now then, yeah, they might. They'll do other things other than just build a shelter. Now, here's a question that somebody else might have asked. You know what a tribe is? The tribe is a big family. Anybody know how many tribes there were in Israel? 12 tribes. That's a lot of tribes, a lot of families, okay? And these 12 tribes would have their tents all around. So when God was leading them through the wilderness, he would have them in the... I've got a question. If all the people were living in tents over 40 years in the wilderness, my question would be, where was God? Where was God? Well, do you know what? The wonderful thing was, when God's people were living in a tent, do you know where God was living? Not in heaven. He was living in a tent with his people, right bang in the middle of the camp. So there would be, if you could see a map, there would be a tent in the middle where, that's the tabernacle. Boys, just leave the leaves, lads. There would be a tent in the middle where the tabernacle, where God would live, okay? And then all around the tabernacle, there would be all the tribes, okay, living in tents, okay? And they would remember, every year when they marked the festival for 7 days, they would remember, we have a God who doesn't just rescue, who saves his people. We have a God who lives with us, right in the middle of where we are. Now then, I'm going to send the boys back to their parents, okay? Guys, you just want to go back to your parents for a bit? Thank you very much for your help. Let's see if this shelter stays for the whole length of the service, okay? Zach, do you want to go back up? As your house, that's more waterproof than this one. Do you want to go back upstairs, man? Good lad. Thank you very much for your help. Thank you. Now, I know you know that our God is a God who lives with us. But to God's people, having God live in the middle of their camp was different to anything they'd ever known before. Where have they come from? They've just come from Egypt, where the king, who's considered to be like a god, is over his people, but he's not with his people. Do you remember how Pharaoh treated God's people? He was horrible to them. He was a God over them, but he was a God against them. But the God who rescues is a God who is over his people and the God who is with them. That's a massive difference. And that theme of God being with his people, of living with his people, runs through the whole of the Bible. It starts at Eden, in the Garden of Eden, where God lived with his people. He stayed there. He walked with them. He walked with them in the cool of the day. But that friendship broke when Adam and Eve disobeyed God's laws and turned their back on his relationship. But all through the Bible, he still wants to come and live with his people. And we see that in the tabernacle. And when God's people settle in the promised land, they build a temple. And Solomon, who's wise and rich and powerful and important, can't get his head around, will God dwell in this temple? Will God, who rules the world, heaven can't even contain him, will he dwell here? The answer is yes. Unbelievably, remarkably, yes. God is a God who dwells, lives with his people. And we see that lived out somewhere else. We see that lived out in Jesus. When Jesus comes, the name he's given is God with us. It's a word we'll hear a lot at Christmas time. Emmanuel, God with us. He is dwelling with his people. But it doesn't stop there. When we trust in Jesus' death and resurrection, do you know what happens? God comes and lives with us. Not just alongside us, but in us by his Spirit. He comes to be in us by his Spirit so that we are never, ever alone. He is always God with us. And then one day, whenever Jesus returns and all of creation is made brand new again and we are made brand new again, God and his people will live together forever and ever. That's a really exciting story, isn't it? God is the God who lives with us. Not just over us, but with us. Loving us and caring for us. That's one of the big lessons I want you to remember from today. Very simply, when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, they were remembering the Feast of Tabernacles or Shelters. And they remembered the God who lived with them when they dwelt in tents, because God is like that. There's a very special name that God has given himself in the Bible, and it's the Lord who is present, or the Lord who is there. And that means that God is a God who is with us, stays with us, and never moves from us. Okay? And that's really important that we remember that, because sometimes, even when we've trusted in Jesus to forgive us of our sin and we follow him, sometimes we might just think that God's going to leave us alone. But God can't do that, because God is the God who is with us. He is the God who is present. That's his nature. That's his character. He sticks with, stands by, walks with his people always. And that is good news. We're going to sing. I'm going to sing a song that's written for children, but can I encourage you, all of you, if you can, to stand. You don't have to do the actions, but please do sing if you can. This is called God Speaks and We Listen. If we were to imagine what God was like, we wouldn't imagine the God that Jesus says he is. We wouldn't imagine the God who lives with us. So as God speaks, our job is to listen and to obey. Does anybody want to come and do the actions with me for this song? This will be Andy Ruth will be on the screen on the gallery doing the actions, so we can follow those through. Anybody want to come? You don't have to, but you're very welcome. Okay. Anybody else? Come on, then. Can you come as quick as you can, lads? That'll be great. Thank you. And we're going to sing God Speaks, We Listen. So the big lesson we've just learned is that God lives with us. The next big lesson we're going to learn is that God leads us. Come on ahead, Zach. Are you coming, Daniel? You've disappeared? There you go. Okay. Brilliant. Go and take a seat. Boys, thank you very much for your help. We use light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We use light in all sorts of ways. What ways? This is not just a question for the kids. What ways do we use light? In what way do you use light? Any ideas? Any thoughts? To read, yes, yeah. It's really hard to read in the dark, isn't it, Alan? Yeah, we need light to read. Yeah, thank you. To shine out the darkness, yeah, thank you. I was reading this week that a candle, one candle on a hilltop can be seen from 43 miles away. I'm thinking, what? I suppose that's Blackpool Tower, isn't it? Sort of 43 miles to shine in the darkness. Yeah, thank you, Mary. Any other lights? The moon, yes, yeah. To see where you're going, yeah. To celebrate, yes, yeah. Birthday candles. Lighthouse, yeah. That's a warning, isn't it? Yeah, don't come here, yeah, yeah. We use light in all sorts of ways. Lights on our bikes, lights in our cars, lights in our homes, lights in our gardens. All sorts of ways, don't we? There are two ways, generally speaking, we use lights. One is to say, stay away. That's quite an unusual way. Lighthouse. Okay, there's a light on top of a lighthouse, and it's saying to the ships and the boats that pass by, stay away. This is the coastline here. There are rocks here. Stay away. Don't come here. Sometimes when you see tall buildings in big cities, they have lights on the top of them. Why are there lights on the very top of the buildings? To warn the aircraft, stay away, there's a building here, stay away from here. Some lights say, stay away. And some lights say, this way. So if you're driving on a road at night, and your headlights hit the side of the road, the cat's eyes light up, don't they? And you know which way to go. Well, the coastal road is great, because there's no lampposts. But when you go to the coastal road, you see the cat's eyes in the dark, light up. Airports use lights on runways, don't they? So when the plane comes in to land, or often around at night time, around an airport, there's lots and lots and lots of lights, aren't there? Or the city, or the big town. But actually, there's a particular kind of runway light that says to the pilot, this way. You come here. Well, when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he's saying, this way. He's not saying stay away. He's saying this way. Come to me. Come and follow me, are the words he uses. Come and trust in me. Now, most of you have done that already. And so when we think of these words of Jesus, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, we can give thanks to God that he has helped us. He has made us follow him. Because otherwise, we would still be in darkness. And we're not anymore. And that's great. And the more we appreciate that, the more we appreciate that we're in the light because of Jesus, we want to tell people who are in the darkness about the light. The light that we found, the light that's found us, the light that we're following. It's possible that some of you in this room are not friends of Jesus. You've not been forgiven and you're not following Jesus. Well, this invitation to come this way from Jesus is an invitation to you today. As we think about this word, this verse, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It's an invitation to come and trust him. We're thinking on the video about the festival of lights. And we saw a picture of four big posts and four big bowls and four big flames that lit up at night time at the end of the festival. And they shone and reflected off the white of the buildings around them so that everybody could see the light at night time. Well, the story goes like this. When Jesus said this word, I am the light of the world, it was the next day. So the lights had shone that night before, a bit like a fireworks display. Light, bright, everybody could see it. Everybody could see it all for miles and miles. And then as the night goes on, the lights just go away. That's what happens with bonfires, isn't it? Sort of eventually the light just dims. Well, the next morning, Jesus stands up in the same spot in the temple and says, I am the light of the world. The Festival of Tabernacles, they remember light in a very special way. Light's a massive theme in the Bible. But I want to talk to you about when they remember the Feast of Tabernacles, they knew God as light in a very special way. God used light to lead his people, didn't he? So when God rescued his people from Egypt, from slavery, into the wilderness, there was what's called a pillar. Okay? Now, we've got two pillars in church here, but I suspect this pillar was much bigger. Okay? This big sort of column up into the sky, probably. Probably quite big in size. We're not giving it size, but probably quite big, because the people who had to see it were many. And we're told that during the day, it was a pillar of cloud. Having a bright pillar during the day wouldn't work because the sun was so bright. They had to have something that was different. So they saw this pillar of cloud during the day. But then during the night, the pillar took on a different appearance. And it was a pillar of fire, wasn't it? So at night time, they could see the light of the fire in this big pillar. And this pillar didn't stay in one spot. The idea is when God's people weren't in their tents, but they were moving from one place to the other, God would use this pillar to go before them and lead the way. So at daytime it would look like cloud, at nighttime it would look like fire, and God was saying, follow me this way, we're going this way. Okay? And as they followed that pillar, they would know where to go. Now at nighttime, that must have been great. As they were walking at nighttime, this pillar of fire, nice and bright. It could help them see where they were going, it could help them see one another, and help them to know which way to go. And with that thought of God leading his people, Jesus says, whoever follows me, let me, Jesus is teaching his people, let me lead you through life. Not just through a little journey or a big journey. It's not just putting the lights on in the car so you get lights to see. This is the journey of life. And not just the journey of life, the journey of eternal life. And Jesus said, follow me for that journey. That's a big invitation, isn't it? We get our car serviced by somebody who you might know. And one of the jobs that gets done every year is that the lights get checked to make sure they work. Well, Jesus is saying, I'll be the light that you need forever and ever and ever. And a Christian is someone who trusts Jesus' promise for that. And a Christian is someone who is glad that they've trusted Jesus' promise for that, because he does lead. He does lead. I want to tell you about a man. If you were to look in the Bible, you've got the Bible open in front of you. This story comes from John chapter 9. So roughly in the same day, Jesus just said, I am the light of the world. And people are looking at Jesus, but they can't get this. They can't see him. They can't see him as the one who's promised to light up their lives forever. They're hearing Jesus speak. They're seeing Jesus say things. And they just can't trust him. Or they don't want to. But then in chapter 9, we're introduced to a man who can't see. We're told he's been born blind. He has never, ever seen. Some people, when they're born, they have a condition which means that actually as they get older, their eyesight gets less and less and less. But this man is never seen once. And Jesus gives him his sight back. And he sees with his eyes, but also he sees with his heart. Because Jesus introduces himself to him, and he trusts in Jesus then. So the light of life is shining. And people who see the light don't want to trust him. And one man who can't even see is given sight so he can trust him. It's a wonderful picture. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he gives us the desire to trust him. It's a wonderful gift. It doesn't come from ourselves, it comes from God. But when we trust in his promise, that gift is given to us. We become like the man who was born blind. I didn't see. I couldn't see. But now I do see. I was in darkness, but now I'm in light. I didn't know who to follow, but now I'm following Jesus. That's a wonderful picture of the light of the world shining in our lives. So can I encourage you? Those of you who have trusted in Jesus already, I want to encourage you. You're on the right lines. You're with the right man. There's nobody else who can make a promise to light your life forever and lead you all the way through. There's nobody else who could promise that. He does promise it, and he'll keep that promise. Do not fear that he'll let you down, because he won't. Do not fear that somehow you're walking in darkness, because you're not. If you know Jesus, he is leading you through life. That's good news, isn't it? It's good to be reminded of that. And for those of us in the building who have not yet trusted Jesus, can I just present to you Jesus Christ? The man who calls people to follow him as the light of life. How do you do that? Words like this. Jesus, you promise to shine into the lives of people who trust you. I want to be like that. Please help me to trust you and be my light for all of my life, forever and ever. He'll listen to words like that. Jesus' light shines when he forgives our sins. Jesus' light shines when he shows us who God is like and we love God as a result. Jesus' light shines when he shines into our hearts and we realize, I'm not as good as I thought I was, but Jesus forgives me and cleanses me and takes me on and leads me through life. Jesus' light shines in all sorts of ways. But we can know him for ourselves, just like the man born blind. It's simple, isn't it? Almost too simple. But here's Jesus offering life. And the picture is light. Now then, going to see how you're getting on with the memory verse. Do you want to come down and help me with the memory verse again? And we can see how the adults are getting on with the actions. Come on in. Good man. Thank you. We'll do the memory verse first and then we'll do the song. Is that okay? Come on ahead, Zach. Good man. Wouldn't it be great to have a slidey pole down from the gallery? Wouldn't that be a fireman's pole? That'd be good, wouldn't it?
What you should get like an inflatable when it comes out here, water so you can slide through the gallery.
A water slide from the gallery? Why didn't we think about that when we were building the room?
Exactly.
Okay. Are you coming up, Zach? Come on, mate. Good lad. Now, we've been learning that Jesus, as the light of the world, God lives with us and God leads us, okay? And we're going to remember this verse together. When we're ready, you ready to go? Good man, okay? After two. One, two. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And that's from John chapter 12. No, it's not. John chapter 8, verse 12. Thank you for your patience on that one. Okay. Now, you can stay here because we're going to sing. Okay. And we're going to sing. Let me just check. Wide and long and high and deep, okay? Why does God live with us and why does God lead us? Because he loves us. That's really, really important. We don't need to fear God living with us. We don't need to fear God leading us because he loves us. And the more we trust his love, the more we love him. We're going to sing this song together, okay? Andy Ruth's going to take us through the actions. There's lots of actions, including twisting your position, okay? You don't have to do that, but please do stand. And if you can sing with us, please sing. Thank you. Oh, sorry, Jack. Go and sit down, lads. Thank you very much for your help. Let's give them a round of applause for handling that. I think I managed to get the actions right once during that. When we think about God living with us and leading us, we've just sung a song about us growing up, being filled with the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit growing in us. That's the idea. That God will lead us as we get older, He'll lead us as we get more like Jesus. And He'll lead us through every single day. Not one day that God doesn't care about. There's not one part of our lives that God thinks that's not important. The whole thing, everything, what you think, how you feel, what you say, what you do, who you love, who you struggle with, all of those things, God wants to lead us through to make us more like Jesus. I need a God like that. I need a God who will never let go, who will never walk away, who will always lead me. And the Bible tells you, you need a God like that as well. And isn't it good that Jesus is the light of the world? And we have that light of life living with us and leading us. I'm conscious the old age service does mean you do need to put up with a few different things. Thank you for your patience. Can I encourage you, when you attend the old age services, to pray for not just the children, but pray for the children, but pray for all of us that simple truths will stick and stay. You can even have a go at doing them in verse over lunchtime. Okay, actions or not. And just try and get that truth in. God lives with us. That's good news. And God leads us. And all because Jesus is the light of the world. We're going to sing, probably no surprise to you, we're going to sing Light of the World to finish our service. A light of the world, you step down into darkness. Isn't it great that Jesus did that for us? Let's stand and sing this together. Just close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the light of Jesus Christ. We thank you that when he shines in our lives, our sins are forgiven because he paid the price at the cross. We thank you that he walks with us through every single day, present by his Spirit. We thank you for a God like you, who loves, who lives with us, and who leads us. Would you grant us faith? And in granting us faith, would you grant us joy and peace in believing that you are the God who is light and who gives light through Jesus. Amen.